Welcome to our service for the 7th of June 2020, Trinity Sunday. My name is Max and I am the church leader for Bedhampton Parish, the rector of Bedhampton. This week we continue to look at the foundations of our faith, asking the question, how can I resist evil? As ever, there's a video produced by Alpha that you can look into afterwards if you want to find out more, if you want to go more in depth. And I host a discussion on Wednesday night. If you want to be part of that, just send me an email. I want to take a moment before we continue with other news to say thank you to all of you who are continuing to tithe and give financially to God's work here in Bedhampton. However you are doing that, whether it is through direct debit in the parish giving scheme, or whether you are saving your envelopes at home, I want to say that actually your giving right now is particularly important. Obviously, we don't have income from the halls that we rent out sometimes in other areas, and indeed, providing a service in a different way to the way we usually do costs more money than we would normally expect to give out in that area. So thank you very much for all the work that you're doing and the giving that you're doing for God's glory in Bedhampton. And don't forget the Rector's Open House on Wednesday at 10 a.m, where you can join me for a virtual cup of tea, as it were, catch up and just chat online. You can go to the website to find out how to connect with me on that one, or look at the news sheet and find out how to join us at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. And by the way, if you don't get the weekly news sheet, then just send me an email and I will make sure you are added to the list. In addition to that, on a Wednesday at 8 a.m. every Wednesday morning, I pray for God's kingdom to come here in Bedhampton. And I'm calling you now to join me. I'm saying that we need to actually put everything we do on top of the foundation of prayer here in Bedhampton. So join me on a Wednesday at 8 if you can online, as we pray for God's kingdom to come, as we pray into areas like our young people and what our provision for them might be, as we seek God's kingdom here in Bedhampton. If you can't join me, then please take a moment wherever you are, maybe when you're on the way to work or wherever you are in your home, to pray every Wednesday with me as we seek God's will for his people in Bedhampton. And finally, before we begin our service, I have two questions for you. I want to know, how did you come to be part of our church? Whether that's recently online or you've been here for what seems like forever. How did you come to be part of our church? And in addition to that, I want to know, when has God met you in a life-changing way here in Bedhampton? Let's celebrate God's legacy in Bedhampton as we move forward. Let's share with each other how we came to be part of the church. And let's share also the other question. When has God met you in a life-changing way in Bedhampton? You can, if you want to, and you're brave, you can send me a short video on how that happened. We'll share those later in a few weeks' time. Or if you simply want to send me an email with an answer to those two questions, then I will make sure that we include those as well. So, how did you become to be part of our church? And when has God met you in a life-changing way here in Bedhampton? Let's share the good news of what Jesus has been doing over the years and more recently in Bedhampton. But before we begin in earnest, because what we're really here to do is to worship our God, before we begin doing that, let's take a moment to be quiet and just acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit wherever you are. This is Trinity Sunday, so we have Father God, Jesus, Son of God, and the Holy Spirit God with us. Let's acknowledge his presence now as we wait for a moment upon him. Father, we acknowledge you. Jesus, we acknowledge you. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. May all that we say and do be acceptable as worship in your sight. Amen. As ever, there will be some words come up on the screen, which you can say out loud wherever you are if you want to join in. And so, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Dear friends in Christ, we have come together on this Trinity Sunday to celebrate in word and song and to affirm our faith in God, the three in one. Let us praise his name together. And so on this Trinity Sunday, we pray the prayer of the week, the Collect. Before I do, why don't you take a moment to just say your own quiet prayer of thanks to God, and I'll pray the Collect for the week. Holy God, faithful and unchanging, enlarge our minds with the knowledge of your truth and draw us more deeply into the mystery of your love, that we may truly worship you in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're going to continue our worship now as we sing Purify My Heart. Donna and Phil Tebbs have shared this so that we can worship as a family. Purify my heart.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. To be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within. Deep within, breathe finest fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be. To do your will. Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, breathe finest fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will, ready to do your will, ready to do your will.
Donna and Phil for sharing that with us. And again, as I've said before, and Donna and Phil responded, if you have anything that you want to share on these online services, then do get in contact with me. If you want to share a song or a prayer, or if you just want to share a testimony, a story of how God has been working in your lives. I know I've been in touch with many of you, and I'm hearing some of the stories, but it'd be great to share some of that with others. And on this Trinity Sunday now, we come to affirm our faith in a creed as we acknowledge God's presence and what we believe. So we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first reading now is brought to us from Catherine.
The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Catherine. And now Sandra brings us our second reading. After Sandra has read to us this gospel, I shall try and explain how we might resist evil.
The reading today comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. The temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord.
Be careful the environment you choose, for it will shape you. Be careful the friends that you choose, for you will become like them. Those were the words of successful businessman and philanthropist and self-help book author William Clement Stone. Like many self-help gurus, most of his wisdom comes straight out of the Bible. For example, Proverbs 22 says this. It says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." Perhaps, though, your parents said it more succinctly when they said, "Birds of a feather flock together." Or as my parents said, "You become who you spend time with." As a teenager, I spent time with my dear friend Agsie. Agsie is a little older than me, and I looked up to him and aspired to be much like him. Much of what I believed in my late teens was formed in discussions around his mum and dad's dinner table or on the hills as we walked the Lake District together. And it was during this time that my early ideas of who God was waned, and how Agsie's atheistic approach to life migrated into my thought pattern. You become who you spend time with. The idea of God's existence became ridiculous to me, and the idea as a devil, evil personified, was incredulous. A red-faced, red-horned monster with a pitchfork roaming the world causing havoc seemed childlike. Well, it would do, and I'd never studied, of course, because that is not how the Bible describes the devil. That's more pictures and images from medieval times. But what about you? What would you say of the devil? What image might you have? Many would say that evil is simply ourselves doing bad things. People manage well enough on their own without any help to be evil, most would say. You know, a while ago, Susie and I managed to catch a great performance of a play called The Screwtape Letters. You may be aware of it and the fact that it's based upon a book by C.S. Lewis. Lewis takes that slightly cartoon-like image of the devil and runs with it. He has a school of demons being trained for the evil work around the world. Here is an extract of a letter sent to one of those demons called Wormwood that Susie shares with us.
"My dear Wormwood, I wonder you should ask me whether it is essential to keep the patient in ignorance about your own existence. That question, at least for the present phase of our struggle, has been answered for us by the High Command. Our policy, for the moment, is to conceal ourselves. Of course, this has not always been so. We are really faced with a cruel dilemma. When human beings disbelieve in our existence, we lose all the pleasing results of direct terrorism, and we make no magicians. On the other hand, when they believe in us, we cannot make them materialists and sceptics, at least not yet. I have great hopes that we shall learn in due course how to emotionalise and mythologise their science to such an extent that what is, in effect, a belief in us, though not under that name, will creep in while the human mind remains closed to the belief in the enemy, the life force, the worship of sex, and some aspects of psychoanalysis may here prove useful. If once we can produce our perfect work, the materialist magician, the man, not using, but vertebrally worshipping what he vaguely calls forces, while denying the existence of spirits, then the end of the war may be in sight. In the meantime, we must obey our orders. I do not think that you will have much difficulty in keeping your patient in the dark. The fact that devils are predominantly comic figures in the modern imagination will help you. if any faint suspicion of your existence begins to arise in his mind, suggest to him a picture of something in red tights, and persuade him that since he cannot believe in that, it is an old textbook method of confusing them. He therefore cannot believe in you.
Thank you, Susie. And I would recommend reading the Screwtape Letters or listening to an audio of it, not as a literal translation of what the devil might be, but actually as some of the tactics and some of the methods that the devil might use in our lives. But it seems to me the classic example of the devil in the Bible is the reading that we heard earlier when we saw the devil tempt Jesus. I've spoken on Matthew 4, where it comes from recently, so I won't go into too much detail right now, as you can go to the website and listen back to my talk from that time. But let me summarise how the devil's attack plan works. Tactic 1 relates to identity. If the devil is willing to attack the identity of Jesus when he says, "If you are the Son of God," then don't be surprised if he attacks your identity as a child of God. You might say, what makes you good enough to be a Christian? You might have ideas come in your mind that says, why would God love you? Are you really like those other people who go to church? Are you really like those other people who say they worship God? Identity. But then we have tactic number 2, distortion. The devil distorts truth, often distorting the truth of the Bible. For tactic 2, Satan distorts scripture with Jesus. Throw yourself down, he says, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You see, the devil takes a grain of truth and then twists it to rationalise what you and I are about to do. So we might be thinking, well, scripture says one thing, but of course that doesn't really relate to me in this instance. Doesn't relate to you and I now, does it? Identity and distortion. And then we have distraction. The Satan last tactic with Jesus when he says, all of this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me, to Jesus. In our lives, it might be something along the lines of, look, being an apprentice to God isn't all that Max says it is. It's not all it's cracked up to be. You could have a much better life doing other things. Money, affairs, lust, greed. They're way more fun than church. Identity, distortion, and distraction. I'm sure these are not an exhaustive list, but they are three examples of how the devil might try and attack us. So I guess at this point, we need some weapons in our armoury to resist this. I should at least attempt to answer the question, how can I resist evil? Well, let me start by reminding you what your parents used to say. You become who you spend time with. In the desert, before Jesus was approached by the devil, he has been spending time with God and God's Spirit and in Scripture. His glass is full. He has been praying. He knows his Scripture. He's been seeking God's Spirit. He truly has a full glass. And so now his glass is overflowing. His spirit is full. You become who you spend time with. Paul reminds us in the reading from Ephesians that we heard to be strong in the Lord. And in this rendition of that from the Passion Translation, he puts it like this. Put on God's complete set of armour provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil of the accuser. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armour that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert Then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from the lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. In short, you become who you spend time with. So spend time with God's Spirit in prayer, in scripture, in worship, with God's fellow apprentices and believers. And then you will overcome the devil and all evil. You see, the devil's power is tiny compared to the love of God. There is nothing to fear because of God's Spirit has won the battle. The very same Spirit that is in you has already won. Jesus said it like this. He said, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these. How? Because you become who you spend time with. When evil whispers that you are not loved, the Spirit reminds you that you are. When evil whispers that because someone hurt you, you have a right to hurt them, God's Spirit reminds you to leave that to Him. When all sorts of things happen in life, such that your spirit becomes weak, God's Spirit, when you spend time with Him, reminds you that you are strong. You see, when that happens, you are still full of God's Spirit. You become who you spend time with. And when you spend time with Jesus and God's Spirit, you have the power to resist evil inside of you. So, my friends, what is your temptation? Gossip, greed, pornography, alcohol, anger, or some other temptation? We all have temptations. I have mine and you have yours. But if we spend time with those temptations, we become more like them. But if we spend time in worship of the one true God, we become like Him. What if every time you were tempted, you asked one simple question? And some of you know what is coming. What if every time a thought came into your head, you asked the one simple question, are you of Jesus? Would that not help you resist evil? You see, no evil spirit can resist the name of Jesus. If we became a group of people who resisted evil by spending time in prayer and study of the word and simply being with His Spirit and other believers, then perhaps there would be less evil in the world. Perhaps we might see some of God's kingdom coming, not just in our own lives, but in our neighborhoods. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be what we wanted? How can I resist evil? I'm not saying it's easy, but it is simple. You become who you spend time with. Of course, the reality is that sometimes we do make mistakes, we do sin. And Jesus came such that when that happens, we can turn to God and seek forgiveness. We can turn to God and say we are sorry and that we repent of our mistakes and our sins, and we want to turn away from them. That's what repentance means. Jesus died for you and I such that we could have life to the full, and part of that includes receiving forgiveness from God. So I've left what we call the confession to now, after my talk, so that we can move forward, as it were, with a clean sheet. So let's do that together now. God the Father forgives us in Christ and heals us by the Holy Spirit. Let us therefore put away all anger and bitterness, all slander and malice, and confess our sins to God, our Redeemer. Let's take a moment right now just to pause and reflect before we seek and receive his forgiveness. Knowing our God is keen to forgive us, we come before a God who is Father and who is Son and who is Spirit to receive his forgiveness. Friend of sinners, you bring hope in our despair. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Healer of the sick, you give strength in our weakness. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Destroyer of evil, you bring life in our dying. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And may the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself and cleanse us from all our sins, that we may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As I sometimes say, the key to receiving forgiveness is to acknowledge it and now to move on. You are truly forgiven because of what Christ did for you and I. Now we're going to have our prayers.
Dear God, hear our prayers on this Trinity Sunday as we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to us to be our loving guide and friend. During this continuing time of change, we praise you for the good things in our lives, for being able to appreciate all the summer flowers when we go for a walk, for the light evenings which we can use to be outside longer in your beautiful world, for the relaxing of lockdown rules to see families and friends and to travel further, for the generosity of so many people who are continuing to help those in our community. And finally, for the beautiful weather since lockdown started. Father, we lift up all the children who have returned to school this week. We pray that they adapt well to the changes at school and that they feel happy to be with their friends again. We ask for wisdom for our leaders, that they will make the right decisions to defeat this virus in the shortest timescale possible, while continuing to minimise the loss of life. Lord God, we pray for all those who are scared and anxious. This virus is an unseen enemy which can also play with our minds. Encourage us, your children, to turn to you for comfort, as you are our loving Heavenly Father, who is always there for us. We praise you for the national effort which is happening every day across our country. We are reminded by this pandemic that you, Lord, have helped us to realise what can be achieved in our communities when we all help each other. Guide us to be your hands and feet as we help others. Jesus, we praise you as we try to fulfil your commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Open our eyes to support the lonely and isolated in our village, and not to hold back with offers of help. We lift up all those across the world who are still in wars, famines, or other natural disasters, who now have the additional challenge of the coronavirus. Please also protect everyone in refugee camps where there is little suitable medical equipment to fight this disease. May the international effort to support these places continue, as we are all one family in the world that you created. Watch over all those who are involved in the racial tensions and help them to realise that violence isn't the way forward. We pray for your loving hand to be placed on all frontline workers, especially in the NHS. Protect them from illness and exhaustion. Give them hope and signs of healing in their daily lives. Finally, we pray for all those who are ill, whatever the cause. We pray for healing of their bodies or minds in your name. We also ask you to be with all those who have lost loved ones recently. Please help their friends and relatives to know that their life is eternal with you in heaven. Lord, we lift up all these prayers to you in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Nikki. I know that we've already today said our creed, but actually I do love this song which is based upon the creed. And so now we're going to sing our last song of worship together, which is entitled, I Believe.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Saviour. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ. The Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal.
been great to be with you today. And as we finish our time together, I just want to remind you not to forget that on the website is a communion service that you can always get access to if you want to go through that communion with yourself and God. It's put up there for you to share at home. So it's there for you. And do join me in prayer at 8 o'clock this Wednesday, either online or wherever you are, as we pray for God's kingdom to come. Again, I can't emphasize enough quite how important that is for us right now. Don't forget those two questions that you might want to send me a video or an email about. How did you become part of our church in Bedhampton? And when has God met you in a life-changing way here in Bedhampton? But as we finish our time here together now, let's take some time to bless God together. God the Father, who first loved us and made us accepted in the beloved Son, bless you. Amen. God the Son, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, bless you. Amen. God the Holy Spirit, who sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts, bless you. Amen. And the blessing of the one true God, to whom be all love and all glory for time and for eternity, come down upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Have a fantastic week, and may God bless you.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be to do it.